Alex?
Let me tell you about Kinderman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hey, Tad.
Yes, Alex?
You ever hear of a great new alternative to YouTube called BitChute? Because we're about to be forced on there once we do this controversial episode. Hey, Tad, let me tell you about China and why I hate it and why I've hated it for years. Alright, so, what do you know about China, Tad?
I know the color red. I know the color yellow. Okay.
I was gonna make
a Winnie the Pooh joke. I was gonna say the color red and the color yellow. But I remember that calling Chinese people yellow was a racist.
Ted.
So it's not that, it's Winnie the Pooh.
Ted.
Listen, don't send me to BitChute!
No, please, don't put me in the Uyghur internment camps! Don't harvest my organs! I'm sorry!
Stop saying Uyghur, you'll get us put on BitChute.
That's what they're called!
Alright, so... now, it might seem kind of weird, but I'm just really, really happy right now. Now, Tad...
Wow, that is weird.
I know. Me with a positive smile on my face, because I've hated China and also Blizzard for years, as I've made it pretty obvious in the podcast with the Blizzard part, where we shit on Overwatch every fucking day we could, and how I uninstalled Battle.net, like, almost 2 years ago. Like, I've been done with Blizzard for a little while, and now everyone's finally caught up to me. Oh, I feel so up my own ass about this. You have no idea.
You feel validated, Alex?
Dude, I am so valid right now. Oh, finally. Thank you, everybody. Now, I didn't get a chance to do this last week because Ted was busy being stupid, but I really wanted to say, damn, I picked a good time to shit on China because right after all that shit with Blizzard happened. Thanks.
It was pretty great.
Excuse me.
So I mentioned this to Alex, because this is an Alex episode. I mentioned Alex that I don't exactly know why China is in the spotlight, right? Like, I know that China bad.
But why China bad?
Nobody ever says, why China bad? So what, Alex, why China bad?
Okay,
how
so...
How China bad?
So the
Where
short...
China bad?
So the short answer of why China is so bad is because it's, well, first off, okay, I'm not going to say that. That's actually just a racist joke about Dave. I'm not making that. Moving on. Scrapping this.
This is going to be a strong episode.
Scrapping that. Next. The actual problem with China is that China, you know, just baseline, is
quote
an economic.
From Alex, the problem with China is that their eyes look different.
Is that they're all these small little yellow bug people.
Jesus.
No. So the actual thing, shut up, listen, I want to actually talk about it. Like, listen.
Alex, you're gonna get your ass hashtag canceled.
Listen. The thing with China is that it's an economic powerhouse. Cause it is just like stats per like wise. It just has like, so you have like a plus 10 to strength or plus 20 to dex, they've got 100 and everything because they're just so big. Unlike Russia, which is a big country in air quotes, a majority of that is just unpopulated like tundra. China is actually entirely populated, so it alone is a fraction of our entire population of humans. I'm sure you've ever watched, I'm kidding, I'm going to use this as a stat. Have you ever watched Meet Dave, that stupid movie with Bill Murphy, is his name? The guy who plays Donkey in Shrek? Because that's what I know is that I know from.
Bill Murphy.
What's his name? I don't remember.
No, I'm going to call him Bill Murphy from now on.
No,
yeah,
Bill
Murphy.
What's his name?
Well, you remember that movie with Shrek from Donkey from Shrek?
Yes.
Where he's like, what's the most average human name ever? And like, they Google it, Mao Xin Chang. Or whatever. No, it's like Yao Ming or something. Like, it's just some random like Chinese name. Because China is just majority of the humans. It is like the average human, just because, you know, pure numbers-wise. So, because they have such a big country with so many people and so much money, they also have so much disposable labor. China doesn't have a lot of morality. They have, well, the whole Uyghur thing I mentioned in a previous episode. Then they have the little Chinese sweatshops and a lot of cheap material, so they can just kind of have all these people work for no pay and ship it out to other countries who will then pay them for basically nothing. And so China just kind of just scooping it in like one of those fucking coin games you see at an arcade, just like scooping in all that fucking money, and now they just kind of own everything. That's
so
the
they're
short
able
of it.
To they're able to underbid other manufacturers and kind of consolidate. They're able to manufacture things at a lower cost than other countries, and they're. Now, you said that they don't have morals, which, like, that's a pretty hot take. I would say that...
Work ethic. How's that for a better term? Because they don't treat their workers right. This is a fact.
True. But morals are entirely subjective. Just because a group doesn't follow, like, Christian moral system that the Americans, that us North Americans typically do. That we follow that kind of morality doesn't mean that they have no morals. It just means they look at things differently. I would not say that the Chinese people are amoral insects, Alex.
Now, Tad, you might be saying that, but I gotta say, are you wearing a wire? How much did they pay you?
They didn't pay me in money, but my social credit is gonna it's gonna fucking soar.
Fucking, you know what I mean, though, Tad. They're not.
I know
good.
What you mean,
they're
but you
not
don't need
good.
To. You don't need to phrase it that badly, Alex.
Tad, okay, I'll phrase it like this: hand to your shoulder. Do you want to live in China? Yeah, that's what I thought, bitch. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, that's what I thought. You're talking all that good shit, and you're presented with an actual moral dilemma. Do I stand by my words and then work at a Chinese sweatshop? So, how did China get this way is a really fun little thing. So, for a very, very long time, China's always been kind of, like, not in the best shape, because ancient times, they just really liked killing each other. There was nothing the Chinese liked better than just fighting each other, because they were not a unified country like many others were. Like, nobody just, you know, got together and said, hey guys, let's unify. It was always some asshole came by and, like, took them over, right?
Okay, interesting take on ancient history, but go on.
Hot take. To name a single time everyone banded together and said, you know what, yeah, let's just give all the power to this one guy and totally nothing goes wrong. It's always, almost always violent. There's always one guy, like, Greece was never unified. Then Alexander came by and said, hey guys, what if I just T-pose on all of you right now? Japan was not unified. Then Oda Nobunaga says, hey guys, mind if I just T-pose on all of you right now? The Native Americans were never unified. Then the British came, hey guys, what if we just give you some blankets right about now?
And then T-posed on them, but each one of their arms had a fucking blanket on it.
And then England, Scotland, and Ireland were never unified. And then British just said, hey guys, mind if we just T-pose on the both of you right now? See what I'm
but
getting
their
at?
Their T-pose is spelled T-E-A.
Fun fact, did you know most of that tea was from China?
Wow.
Wow, here's a little economic thing. So, China, actually, I'll get to that. Put a pin on that, because that's important to the state of China.
What the fuck? I love China now.
What the fuck? Yeah, and this is that's actually really important. I want to get to that. So, ancient China gets, you know, fucked a lot. Splits, breaks, forms up, breaks again. Rebellions, empires. You've all seen the Bill Wirtz video. We all know it. So... After a long time of this bullshit, there was a big change in the Chinese way of life. That was, the outside world came knocking in the form of the British. Now, China's had contact with the outside world in certain little ways via, like, the Silk Road formed by those fucking Mongolians. But this was the first time that they had real contact with, like, outside of, like, Asia. Where they actually got to the rest of the West. Because, like, there has been little things with, like, say, handing down, like, this to that guy, to that guy, to that guy, to then getting to Rome. This is, like, one of the real big things that, like, fucked everybody over. Was the British came in and, like, hey, guys, can we have some of that tea? We'll trade you. And China's like, whoa, there, oh, slow down there, Pucko. Slow down. You can trade in this one port and take a little bit of tea. Don't get too cocky there, Mr. White Man. And they're like, we want more tea than this. Can we have some more tea? And they're like, no. So they go back, they give all their tea to England. England's like, man, this shit's amazing. We just keep buying it out. There's just not enough supply. This shit's in really high demand. Can you guys go get us some more tea? So the British, like, sailors start sweating, like, oh, shit, we really need to get more tea for some more money. Oh.
They're jonesing for that tea.
Yeah, how do we get this tea? But they only let us trade in one port. Hey, guys, I got this cool idea. What if we give them opium? They're like, that's a great idea. What could possibly be wrong with that? So English morality was pretty high right about now. Because they knew what opium was.
Around what time was this? Was this like 1700s?
1800s.
Not 1700s. That's fucking like knights and shit.
I guess technically the 1700s would have been the first time they had real contact with Europeans outside of a hand-me-down with Marco Polo. But Marco Polo is like up for debate, which is why I'm saying like the big... Once they got like a really big full-on trade, not some hand-me-down shit, not some Silk Road shit, like full-on direct contact trade for the people who are going to spell check me in the fucking comments. This is what I mean. But the British come in, they're like, hey guys, here's some opium, give us some more tea. And the Chinese are like, that's illegal, fucko, get out of here. And they're like, well, shoot, what do we do now? We have all this opium from India, and which, by the way, they totally treated those Indian workers totally right and moral... Very ethically. That's the word I'm looking for. Well,
it's
what
almost,
do we do now?
I mean, what is it? Isn't that, didn't they get the opium from the East India Trading Company? I know that was like a big thing, and it was like pretty fucked up with, like, I know that Britain did not treat India very well.
Yes, I'm sure you've seen like, the whole, that whole movie about Gandhi, how he basically rose up to, I don't want to say power because Gandhi didn't like being in power, but you know how he kind of like made India stand up for itself? Because there was that whole rebellion where they're like, all right, Indians, get to work. And Gandhi's like, hey, guys, what if we just, like, didn't work? What if we just, like, striked on them? And so the Indians just started to do this, like, this march out of, like, I think it was, like, a mine or something. Just some, like, shitty work field. And the British are like, get back to work. Like, no. And so the British just fucking hit them with this fucking rifle. And so there is no way that you could possibly portray yourself as the good guy when you're sitting there beating the shit out of some poor old man with a fucking rifle. So this got published in the news all across the world because the world was starting to get slightly more interconnected by this point because bad news travels fast. So you just had this fucking picture of this fucking English, like this British soldier with this red uniform, just get to work, you little shit, just beating the shit out of him, and then just like snap. And he's like, don't you post that to the rest of Europe. Don't you post it thirsty? Ah,
you're
shit.
You're trying to make it look like I think Coolsville sucks.
You're trying to make it look like I think these people are less than human. Ah, shit. Now people don't like colonialism as much anymore. Well, guess you really boated that one. So
it really popped a boner into that one.
Well, that's jumping a few years. This is still during colonialism. So Britain comes in, they're like, well, what do we do now? Hey, I've got a great idea. What if we go to Singapore? Use them as them like a middleman. Because opium's legal there. We trade in with some Chinese traders for tea there, give them the opium, and they go right back to China. Our hands are clean in this. And they're like, I can't possibly foresee how this could ever go wrong. So, fuck tons of opiums getting to fucking China.
Okay.
And this is everyone's just huffing opium from opium pipes, dude. They're just smoking that shit like it's going out of fucking style. So the Chinese emperor is like, ah, fuck, this is the, I want to say it's the Qin dynasty, I think that's how you pronounce it. The Qin dynasty's like, well, this fucking sucks. Everyone's getting all high in opium. Even you are, you random fucking advisor. And the advisor's just kind of like, just sitting there fucking withering away to dust.
Puffing those fucking fat clouds.
So he hires another guy, and he's like, all right, you, get rid of all the opium in China. That's your job. He's like, all right. So he starts going after these British guys in Singapore, and he's just
fucking
British.
So he goes in there, and he just starts smoking six times as much opium.
Hey, get rid of it. No, he just goes on a purge. Like, he finds storehouses and that shit, he just lights it on fucking fire. He's getting rid of that shit out of China for good. He's, like, arresting people, he's arresting all these British people. And the British, they get pissed, because they want that tea. That's a shitload of goddamn money. But also, the British keep giving money to China. They are running out of silver because they keep just trading it for tea. Because they're using silver as currency in this stage. So Britain's poor as shit and just keeps drinking tea. So they get a new idea. Hey guys, what if we just kind of fucked China up and took all the tea for ourselves? Fuck them.
I thought that's what they were going to go to originally. I was like, hey guys, I got this great idea. Hits opium pipe. Why don't we just fucking hits opium pipe again? Hits opium pipe. Just take it.
So, well, yeah, they hit that now. So they just go over to China, and they're like, all right, China, give us all this tea, or we're going to fuck you over. The Chinese dynasty is proud. They're like, no, fucko, get the fuck off our land. And the British Empire, here's the thing about the British Empire this time, Tad. They were really, really powerful, and they just destroyed China. They kicked their ass 6 ways to Sunday. Partly because of the opium. There are tales of British soldiers going to, like, forts to ransack it, and all the soldiers were just, like, high on opium. They were just, like, curled up in, like, corners, just, like, smoking fucking opium and shit.
I mean, honestly, now, I won't name any names, but I have been to, like, one or two U.S. government locations, and people have just been high as fuck because no one's gonna fucking invade in Illinois. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Some people will just straight up toke that fucking ganja.
Or it reminds me of that one time in Area 51 where all the guards were on break watching I think it was a basketball game. So, like, a bunch of newscasters went past
the checkpoint. So all the aliens snuck out.
Yes, no. A bunch of newscasters wanted to, like, do an episode in Area 51. They were like, hey, there's no guards here. What the hell? They, like, walk past, like a mile into the checkpoint. They knock on one of the buildings, and all the guards are like, oh, shit! Oh, fuck, we got... Oh, shit! They, like, pour out, like, get all their shit together, like, point guns at the newscasters. Where they got caught slacking off on the job. So they didn't say what happened to them, but I know that every single one of those agents got in some serious trouble after that, because you don't leave the post in Area 51. The newscasters were okay, by the way. Nobody got shot. Because technically it was the guards'
fault. Nobody
got
shot. This wasn't 2018.
Hey, a guy was gunned down to Area 51, if you know that.
Okay.
He drove past the fucking thing. Like, he just ran, just floored it past all the guys. Like, what the fuck? Stop your car, you idiot. He jumps out of his car, like, starts waving something in the air. Like, oh shit, he's gonna blow up. So they just gunned him down.
Yeah.
I think it was a camera that he had. But, probably. Yeah. So don't fuck with the Area 51 guys. They will kill you if they have reasonable cause for it. 9 out of 10 times, though, they just send the cops to arrest you. But anyway, we'll talk about Area 51 some other day. So, they push through, everyone's high on opium, and they just blitz through the fuck, like, up the river with all their big-ass fucking boats, because the British had a really good navy. They pretty much always had a good navy for, like, throughout history, but they were, like, really good, way better than Chinese. Because the Chinese...
How did they get them to China? Do they have to go up and north, or did they... Well, they just had, like... They probably went down the Cape of Good Hope.
Yeah, they went
Africa,
down
just
Africa.
Just had, like, big bases.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, like, Singapore was and shit. And Hong Kong, they were establishing as a little fort to stop at. And there's also that one port. Like, sailing back then took months. Like what I'm talking about took, like, a few years. Because things back then were really slow-paced. Like, we don't have, like, planes now. They didn't have planes like we do now where we just get to someplace in a few hours or, like, a day. This shit took, like, years of time. So, oh, there's the leaf blower guy. So.
He hears you talking about China. He's got a wire.
He's got a wire. Yeah, I just let him do his thing, I guess.
So Britain is what is the Emperor doing right now? Where he's just getting attacked by the British for their tea, while his country is high as fuck on opium,
constantly talking about how proud and powerful he and the rest of the Chinese Empire is, and there's absolutely no possible way they could ever lose. So the British get to Beijing, they just immediately get there, and they say, "Okay, Emperor, here's the deal." We got this tree for you. You're going to pay for the war. You're going to give us this tea. And we're going to keep sending you opium. And the Chinese emperor is like, what if I say no? And then he just kind of like leans over, shows all the soldiers behind him, and then leans back into place. So about this treaty. So the Chinese emperor signs a treaty. It's called the Unfair Treaty. China got fucked. And one of the things in that treaty was Hong Kong. Hong Kong was allowed to stay a British-ruled colony, like a province.
Okay.
And that's why for a long time, even when China was all this thing, Hong Kong always had its own separate flag. And Hong Kong always had its own, like, government. Up until recently. But the reason that's important, because that's part of what's going on now, of why Hong Kong's way it is, but it's also kind of like what put China's mentality of the West, because they really did not like the English after they did all that. They basically saw them as like massive bullies and also ruined the country by introducing opium to them. So after that whole debacle with Hong Kong, people think that the Chinese Empire is kind of weak. Rightfully so. And they start to whisper. They start to really wish that things would change. One of these men is a man named Sun Yat-sen. Yes, I had to look at that in a little note card because his name is weird. Don't judge me. But okay. He wanted to see a China without some weird monarchy, emperor kind of bullshit. He wanted it to be ruled by the people. He thought that he went to live in Hawaii and saw the way the Americans were doing it. And he's like, this is awesome. Why can't we be more like them? So he starts forming this little rebellion. And he tries multiple times to stage a rebellion, but they always keep getting beaten back by the Chinese army. Which, yikes, if you guys managed to lose to those losers. But anyway. But even if they fail, they're still technically winning in air quotes, because more people are realizing that, hey, we can fight these fuckers back. I mean, they let the British do whatever they want. Fuck them. We don't need them anymore. So, eventually, Sun does succeed in staging a revolution. And they start to form this big rebellion, and they form their own little, like, sovereign state over in the right, called, like, the People's... It was not called the People's Republic of China, but it's, like, the United Peoples of the Republic of China. It's like a really long name like that. And they form up, and they're like, hey, guys, fuck the Chinese Empire, fuck you, fucking come fight us. And the Chinese Empire starts, like, shivering in their wee little boots. So they're like, ah, shit, they're actually big now. Oh, God, we're gonna get destroyed. Wait a minute, I have an idea. We have this old former general who is, like, really good at his job. His name is Yuan Shikai. He can save us. Hey, Yuan, what do we do? And Yuan, like looks at the Chinese Empire, looks over at the guy at the rebellion. He's, like, stroking his beard. He's like, all right, I'm gonna be real with you guys. If we go to war, the rebellion's going to kill us faster than a Norwegian parrot. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said.
Norwegian parrot.
That's what he said.
I know what he means, because parrots are a tropical bird. Norway is very cold.
Oh, okay.
See, so ancient Chinese wisdom.
Yeah. So they're like, please just do something you want. He's like, all right, fine. I'll talk to them. So he walks out over with his little army over to the rebellion with Sun. And he's like, all right, Sun, I hear you're forming a rebellion. He leans in. I'm interested. What do we do? So Yun then turns 180s, now on the rebellion side, over to the Chinese Empire and says, okay, guys, here's the new plan. Take this bribe and leave the country or get beheaded. So they all leave. And this is where the last emperor of China, little young 6-year-old Puyi, comes into play. So he was forced, even though he's just like a little toddler, to abdicate the throne. But they were, much like the Japanese, they still let him be like the emperor in air quotes. He wasn't the ruler, but he could still live in his little house, have his little servants, and live his stupid little life. Nobody cares. Like, let him do his thing. We got country to run, right? That's kind of what the emperor of Japan was for a long time, where he was more of like a symbol than an actual like person.
It's like fucking Tutankhamun, where he was like this weird fucked up. Well, Tutankhamun was all fucked up and incestuous. Like, so, I mean, he was kind of screwed from birth, but he was basically, you know, hey, you're the ruler. Anyway, stay in your home. We're going to actually do things over here.
Yeah, and so...
And then get fucking eradicated by Moses or whatever. I'm not a Bible scientist.
Tutankhamun died from a hippo biting him.
Based.
Hey, that's you're laughing, but hippos are fucking scary, dude. You're laughing. Yeah.
Like I said, that's why I want to go out. I want to get out. I want to get out by a hungry, hungry hippo.
Anyway.
Hippo bite? What the fuck?
Dude, they have really powerful jaws. Like, The Egyptians are pin. So the Egyptian history, they really like to hunt hippos. That was like a pastime for them. Because remember, it was fucking Egypt, like up in Africa. There wasn't a lot to hunt out there, right?
They didn't have Game Boys yet.
They didn't have Game Boys yet. This wasn't the Dan the Barbarian episode, okay? Where the guy uses the time zipper to give Game Boys to the barbarians.
I forgot about that episode.
That's my favorite
episode.
Hold on,
double pin. Pig. Can we just talk about how Dave the Barbarian was the most hit or miss show ever?
100% you are right. When it was not funny, it was so cringe-inducing. But it had a couple of real fucking bangers. Example, in the Game Boy episode, the fucking nerd is sitting there like typing on his computer. Like, he works at a zipper factory. And he drops his zipper, and upon dropping his zipper, it was struck by lightning, bitten by a radioactive grasshopper, taught the ancient ways of a Buddhist Tibetan monk, and then, like told the wisdom of the Olympians, and then, like, it flows in the air, it become the time zipper. And he's like, wow, that hardly ever happens. Like, that was so fucking funny. Like, all this shit just happens right in this fucking little cubicle.
Dave constructs an ingenious megaphone using a squirrel, some rope, and a megaphone.
It has its moments, sometimes. But anyway, so Egypt, like, pin out of that one, throw that away. Egypt, they hunted hippos as like a sport. Tut got bitten by a hippo and died. Fun fact.
I'm just imagining him because he was so fucked up. Like, just walking along the shore with, like, his double club feet. And, like, his hand that's, like,
Tut
half fucking
that
alligator
no,
or something.
No. Tut was perfectly fine in health. The only reason that Tut was important, because he doesn't have a big, like, history. Tut was important because he was one of the only tombs we found that wasn't pillaged. So we learned a lot of history from him. We don't actually know that much about his actual rule other than just like, oh, we actually found his shit. We just know he's died by a hippo because there's a big hippo tooth-sized wound in the side of him. And he died young, so they put two and two together and like, oh yeah, that's probably how he died.
Okay.
Yeah. So
anyway, back to China.
I was at the rebellion, yeah. So Puyi is in his little, they call it the Gilded Cage.
Is that where they kept the Chinese hippos?
Yes, fuck you. It's where Puyi got to live. He got to be his little emperor, but he never got to leave his palace, so he felt trapped in there. So, Yuan, the guy who helped lead the rebellion with Sun Yat-sen, he's like, alright guys, we can finally run China now. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, so what do we do? And like, well, we want it to be ruled by the people. Well, the people are stupid. We gotta have some, like, actual officials in each area rule the place. I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty smart idea. What should we do? Yuan's like, I got this cool idea. Call them warlords, right? So.
All right, starting off with a strong start. Okay.
So you know what feudalism is, right?
That's where you have a king, and then he designates, like, dukes and all that bullshit to run
dukes
certain areas.
Dukes and lords. Yeah. So, like, a duke or a lord, or, like, a shogun or whatever, or, like, the Russian term is a buyaz. A boyaz. Sorry, it's boyaz. David,
Let's hit those showers. It's booyah. The boyaz.
Basically, it's all the same shit. A lord. They have their little castle or mansion or whatever, and their own little army. So say, like, I want to go to House Dickhead. Well, House Dickhead has, like, 200 guys knights ready to fight, and a couple of peasants he can militia. Then House Buttface over here, they've got, like, 1,000 knights ready to roll. If I use my knights, his knights, and their knights all together, we'll have, like, a bunch of knights, and we'll be able to fight. Right? They all address to the king, but they still kind of rule over their little, like, square, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it'd be like if you have the governors of our states also had their own personal armies. That's what feudalism kind of is. So, the warlords didn't really listen to head China. They didn't care. They were like, all right, General Dao, random names, General fucking Bing Bing, you get to rule this place. You get to rule this shit.
So, General Bing Bing was told he could rule it, and he goes, wahoo!
Wahoo! Fuck you. General Bing gets, like, this special, and then General Ding gets over here, and then Bing and Ding look at each other like, hey, Ding, what? Fuck you! And then he just invades Ding. So they all just started fighting each other, and also they were, quote, exploiting their peasants. They didn't specify how, but apparently they were. So a lot of peasants were pissy. This era is called the Kuomintang, aka the feudal warlords era, and everything sucked. So they're like, okay, guys, this is not going out right. And then Yuan is like, hey, isn't this the democracy you saw in America? I'm sorry, son. I thought this was what you wanted, sweaty. Okay, listen. He, like, pats son on the head. I'll ring in everybody if you so wish. So Yun Wan, like, waltzes by, does, like, a show, beats the shit out of every... beats out of shit out of Ding and Ping and Ming and Ling and kicks all their asses. And it's like, all right, you guys all listen to me now. He sits in his little throne. He's like, you know, guys, it would be really cool. What, Yuan? What if you called me emperor? And people were like, whoa, there. Oh, no, 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 we're not doing this. So another rebellion happens, and they just fucking, like, kick your fucking Yuan out of there. So Yuan here just fucking runs away. I'm like, okay, okay, okay. That was a bad thing. This didn't work that well. What do we do now? Then in comes, this is like, we're getting into the early 1900s now. This comes little young Mao Zedong and his Communist Party that he formed in college. Or like the Chinese equivalent of college.
Okay.
And he's like, hey guys, I've got an idea. The People's Republic didn't work out. The Kuomintang didn't work out. And democracy, green text, come on guys. Really? Democracy? I've got an idea. What if we really split everything off to everybody? You ever hear this guy called Karl Marx? You see, everyone's needs have to be met. And we gotta catch up with the rest of the world. We got fucked in the Opium Wars because we didn't have good guns or good production. Leave it to me. I'll fix this shit. So Mao comes by, and he starts getting everyone riled up. And there's
I'm behind this Mao Zedong guy. He sounds like he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, he does. So Mao leads this kind of like, I don't want to say an army, but it's more like a people's militia. What he does is he takes his little army of like a few hundred guys, and he's marching between like each town and each village and every like city, and like spreading the word of his whole communism, because he's not in power yet. He's just getting everyone to like him. There he was quelling rebellions and uprisings by just being so charismatic. So as they're marching, they call this the Long People's March, I want to say it was called. It's something in Chinese. That's like the translation. But, they all, because every city he goes to, more people are like, yeah, this guy's great. Yeah, I'll fucking follow him. I'll die for this idiot. Let's go. So they're all just getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the Japanese decided to come by. Now, what do you know about the old Japanese? Question. Don't even answer that question. They were assholes. So here's a fun fact about them. They had an emperor called Emperor Yamamoto.
The only thing, to quote South Park, the
Japanese like killing more than the Chinese is killing themselves! Suicide rates are sky high!
Yeah, that's it.
But, so the Japanese army comes by Korea. This is called the Sino-Japanese War. So they come by and they're like, hey guys, what if we just, like, take over Korea? And Korea's like, please, no? And they're like, yeah, I'm thinking, what my arm's doing? Oh, I'm T-posing on you! And so the Japanese just start fucking floating forward with their fucking arms extended and just destroying Korea. Because much like China, Korea was really up its own ass. And really got a rude awakening. So Korea gets its ass absolutely handed to it, and there's the heroic story of Admiral Yi, who single-handedly saved Korea, which I would love to talk into, but that would take me another hour. So pin in that potential episode later about talking about Korea, because they have a fun history too. But China's like, okay, fine, we'll help you. So Mao and the gang lead this fucking army, and they push the Japanese back. And if you were to look at a map war-wise, you'll notice that where the Chinese influence and their help coincidentally is the border of North Korea. Weird, isn't it? Anyway, so the Chinese leave. Get it? Because they introduced communism to the north side of Korea. So, because Mao went down there and he's doing his whole like communist speech, like rallying everybody up. And they're like, huh, this guy's got a point.
I'm sure North Korea will turn out fine.
That's actually a fun story about North Korea that I'd also like to talk about.
Only impact this will have is that this is why North Korean cops have those funny little hats.
Yes, totally. Anyway, so Mao, they and the Koreans managed to get the Japanese out of there, like, get move, go away, Japan. And they're like, okay, You know what? This Mao guy? I like the cut of his jib. What if we just made him the leader of this whole Communist Party thing? Yeah, I like this. The Kuomintang was like, oh, we don't like this. We don't like losing our warlord thing. Because after they booted out Yuan, they just went back to the warlord thing. And they're like, hey, warlords. Yeah? Fuck you. And they put the Communist Party in charge anyway via a rebellion. Because fuck them. Okay.
Yeah, fuck them. And now Mao is by a hippo.
And now Mao in his nice, shiny, balding head, is in power. At age, I want to say he was like 44. He was getting kind of in his like middle ages at this point. So he went from a little farmer's boy to the fucking leader of China. He's really high up his own ass right now. So he gets this plan together. It's called the Great Leap Forward. What he does is he rounds up everybody. He's like, all right, guys, new plan. No more of this farming bullshit. No more of this private land bullshit. Nobody owns land anymore. Everyone starts sweating and says, what? Here's what we do. Every single person in every single sector is going to have their designated job. They went really factory-esque on the entirety of China. These guys over here, you guys are all the farmers. All of you line up and start farming your fucking rice paddies right now. Here's your bunker you live in. Deal with it. Know what you get to eat? What? You get to eat a bunch of bread. Now, you guys over here, you're the factory workers. Build a bunch of factories and work in them. They're like, how do we work in factories? You know how to work in a factory? Yeah. Teach the rest of these people, teach literally all these other Chinese people to work in factories as cheaply as possible. And he's like, okay. And like, you guys over here, you're the doctor. So where you get to go? Everywhere. The doctor in this village, that village, even the poorest village in the country got a doctor. Everybody had a doctor. And then he just sets everyone off in this thing, in this pure, like, plan. These fucking, like, pin notes everywhere. He's like, all right, now we're industrial. We did it, everybody. And here's the thing. This actually worked. This actually unironically worked for an entire year. So here's the thing about this plan. On paper, having everybody work together does sound pretty nice. They had a real hive, like an insect hive thing. I'm not doing this to be racist. I genuinely am doing the comparison. This is not a joke. They had a kind of like beehive system here. Like everyone had like, or like an ant colony. Like everyone had their designated role that they were like born to do, right?
It's like an old school North American fire thing where you would have to, you know, I'd have a bucket of water and I'd pass over to God on my right. And then we would put out the fire that way. And so, then, just like normal American firefighters, then we started stealing shit from the burning house and everything went to hell.
And we started blaring our sirens just to get past red lights. And that was a thing back in Chicago when I was living there.
Fuck yeah.
Check this out. So, everything goes to shit after 1 year happens because two big reasons. There's multiple things that Mao does. I'm going to get into them. But the two things that really made the Great Leap Forward kind of fuck up was, one, they needed more and more farmland, so they kept venturing further and further out into the, like, more wild sections of China, and people were getting eaten by tigers.
What?
So Mao gets a really big brain idea. Hey, guys, now you're all eating bread, and you can't fucking live without all these tigers eating you, and they're like, yeah. For every man that kills a tiger, I'll let you take the meat and eat it yourself. You know, forget your diet. You can just do whatever you want. People are like, well, if you insist. So every Chinese peasant went on a tiger killing spree because they're getting sick of bread.
Okay.
It wasn't about stop the ones from killing us. It was just, damn, we're fucking hungry. So they wiped out 75% of the entire tiger population.
Nice.
And this caused a lot of problems for the rest of the ecosystem because there weren't as many tigers eating the rest of other animals who are now causing bad things in the crops. And what a coincidence, Mao did that exact same problem a second time, where he said, hey guys, I saw some birds eating a bunch of our grain, and that's your bread food. You better stop all those birds from eating your grain. And they're like, well, if you insist, Mao, and all these billions of Chinese peasants went on a bird killing spree and killed every bird they could see, causing a massive fuck up in the ecosystem. So then, when the insects came by in summertime, there were no birds to eat them, and they ate almost all of the crops, causing a mass starvation. Then, because there were no crops, this is the second big thing, there was no bread in the silos for winter, so everybody started dying.
Now this I actually did know about, that there, how much did you get, like, an estimate of how many people fucking died?
So that information is a massive estimate from anywhere from a few, from like
6.
5 million to, like, 10 million. Like, if there's a big, massive gap in there. Cool. There's a big, because remember, China's huge. There's billions of people in there. So, technically speaking, that's not a lot of Chinese. that's how they thought. So, like, it was a huge amount. But, again, massive estimate. So, just put the words in your head. He killed millions. But, here's the thing with Mao, though. I genuinely don't actually think he had malice in his heart, unlike somebody like Hitler or Stalin. I think Mao was just a giant idiot. I think he was just a young revolutionary who, because he quit his farmer life, didn't actually learn anything about farming, so he just kind of assumed assumed agricultural knowledge and kind of just fucked everyone over. Here's another fun thing he did that also temporarily set China back to the Stone Ages. Well, the peasants into the Stone Ages. Big, another big galaxy, like, you know, hands on his head, like, oh, like his brain's enlarging. Hey, guys, we need some more iron. Hey, Chinese peasants, you know all your farm tools? Melt them down to iron and give it to us. And they're like, well, if you insist, Mao. And remember, people loved Mao because he, like, he was a revolutionary that, like, saved them from the warlords and the Japanese, right? Like, they love Mao. They worship Mao. He is, like, a deity. And that's going to be very important.
You know what this feels like to me? This feels like if I started playing, like, an RTS.
Funny, I was going to make that comparison.
I just hit, like, control, like, oh shit, I'm running low on iron. Control A, select all units, send them to the mine. And then, oh shit, they're all dying. Control A, send them to the field. Control A, put them into tiger kill mode.
So I was going to make that comparison once I was done with the next story, but I'll just do it now. So you ever play one of those city builders like Pharaoh or like Emperor or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like you put all the houses next to each other, but you forget to build a bathhouse, so people just start shitting everywhere. Oh, make sure you make a watchtower and not a lookout tower. That way, the when there's a fire,
that way they have
down
something
all the
to shit out of.
No. That way, when the city's on fire, the guards will actually put out the fire and not just keep beating civilians. That's what Mao was like. Mao was just an idiot. I generally don't think he was evil. I think he was just an absolute jackass. So, genius idea. Melt out all the iron, give it to the Chinese emperor, the Communist Party. Not emperor, by the way. And they like, okay, Mao, whatever you say. So they give him all the iron. But do you know how iron works, Tad?
I know. I think if you melt it down, if you don't do it properly, it gets weak.
It becomes useless slag. So the people melted all their tools. So all of the peasants, billions of peasants, have now just killed a bunch of birds, starved to death, killed a bunch of tigers, almost extinct a bunch of different types of animals in the ecosystem, are all dying, and now they don't have any tools to farm, and now they all start starving even harder. So, Mao puts his hands in his head, and he's like, ah, fuck, this is a really bad idea. Man, what the fuck have I done? I really popped a boner in this one. However, the factories are still doing really good. This production thing is still working out for China, and Mao does this really weird dick-waving move, where he talks to the USSR, because they were, like, forming up in this around this time, and this is the early 1900s, and then he goes to North Korea, who's communist now, and they're like, you two, you're traitors to the ideology of Marx himself. You guys are traitor communists. Because
you guys are traitors because all of your people are still alive.
No. Yes, but no. They're traitors because they refuse to open themselves up to the world and show everybody just how much better communism is for production than everything else. And here's the thing. Technically speaking, Mao was right about this one thing. They were a production powerhouse, and this is what sets them off to being what they are today, where they're the economic lead in the world. Because he just made everybody work and work and work and work with no real thought about the human aspect. So, another fun little story about Mao. This is really important to see just how people thought of Mao. Arabian prince wants to make a little like peace deal with China. He goes to Mao, gives him 40 mangoes. He's like, here's a little like fun gift for you. And Mao's like, the fuck is a mango? He takes a bite out of it, and he's like, this is fucking delicious, dude. Because remember, they're in China. They've never eaten a mango before.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, this is fucking tasty. Mmm, yeah, this is nice and sweet and tangy. I like this. Hey, other generals, come on, take up these mangoes. I can't eat all 40 of these for myself. And like, yeah, dude, sure. Somehow, a couple of these mangoes got into the hands of some factory workers through, like, handing down. So they took a bite out of this mango, and they were like, holy shit, whoa! It's like a commercial. Like they bite it, and their hair, like, slicks back, like, whoa, it's a fruity, juicy sensation.
Mangoes make you go crazy.
Oh, man, they want to make me go back to work at the factory.
These mangoes make me come.
Imagine if you took the 40 mangoes and replaced them with 40 cum.
Shut up.
So these factory workers start eating mouse cum, right? And they're like, holy shit. So they're like, holy fuck, dude, this is awesome. You guys gotta try this. Because these people have only eaten bread, tiger meat, and potatoes. They've never eaten a fruit in their life.
It's the triforce of food.
The triforce of the Chinese peasant. And they start worshipping this fruit as a heavenly fruit gifted from the god Mao Zedong himself. And there's this picture. They put it in a little glass jar. This little container. And they like put it up in the factory and they're like praying to it. And so eventually it goes bad. They replace it with a little, like, wax, like, sculpture of it. But this one guy comes in. And he's like, guys, it's a fucking mango. There is literally no way that tastes better than a sweet potato. I refuse to believe it. And they, 100%, this is real. The factory workers turn on him and they say, you question the will of Mao, you fucking piece of shit. And they kill him. Ooh. They kill the guy. So that's the kind of people that were following Mao. That's why they did all the things they did, just wiping out the ecosystem. They revered him as a, like, demigod figure. So, Mao's a really controversial figure because the Great Leap Forward did technically make China an economic powerhouse, and it did bring them up with the rest of the world, but it also killed a lot of people because Mao was a fucking idiot. So, he's controversial because some people see him as a savior of China, and also a lot of other people also see him as a massive genocidal idiot.
So do you think if he played the early game better, if he wouldn't have died to Alistair twice in the laning phase, do you think people's opinion of China would be different now? Like if they did not wipe out all the tigers, if they did not like end up killing 5 to 10 million people, like do you think if this played out well, do you think people would have a different opinion on China? Because this seems to be like a huge factor in like when people look at communism, they're like, hey, that shit don't fucking work.
Well, communism doesn't just look at Mao and his little People's Republic of China in air quotes.
It's definitely a big fucking asterisk that, by the way, 5 to 10 million people died because of communism.
Well, the thing is, though, is that there was more in Russia. Because of Stalin, people kind of go to him for the communism comparison, because he killed 10 million, parentheses, or more. Hmm. He waves that around over and be like, oh, only 5? Yeah, sorry, Mao, take a look at my gulag, sweetie. Stalin...
He's doing the default dance on top of Mao's fucking pile of mangoes.
Yeah. So, like, mushing them all Stalin. Up. Stalin was, like, okay, so Mao, I genuinely believe, was just an idiot. I think he was, like, me or you playing, like, one of those city builders, like, oh, shit, oh, no, people are just shitting everywhere. Oh, no, the guards just beating everybody up. Oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah, I would have thought that putting all these wooden chairs inside this house with a crap oven would have ended this way.
Yeah, like,
Quick, Alex, remove the ladders from the pool.
I genuinely think Mao was just dumb. But Stalin was just objectively an asshole. He was just evil. He would be sitting on his little, like, Stalin throne with, like, a picture, like, a texture of his face over it, like, stretched over it, sitting there just, like, thinking. He looks over to his little advisor. It's like, hello, my brother. Like, oh, yeah, hey, bro, what's up? I think I'm gonna kill you. And he's like, what? And then just people would just come down and just shoot his brother in the head. He's like,
and then he would hold up a photo. of like him and his brother, and then his brother would fade from it. Have you seen that photo of him where he slowly painted out the other people? Yeah, it's great.
That's what Stalin did. Stalin was just evil as fuck. The thing about I could 100% talk about Russian history because Russia is also really fucking fun and really weird.
10 million
or parentheses or more. Stalin just like winks at you. So like with Russia. The thing about Stalin is, here's how you know that he was a bad person. Mao said, I want to stop these warlords from running the shit show that is China. Stalin says, you know, I really idolize Ivan the Terrible. What a great ruler. Yeah, that's the kind of difference between Mao and Stalin. Stalin was just objectively evil. Okay, here's the thing. When I was looking at all these biographies, I was sending a lot of these little like videos to you and doing some research. I was having a lot of fun, because like it's really easy to say these characters, these people, are like this or that, right? You never get the whole story with them. There's always two sides to every story. Even for like the most evil person ever. Even like with those, like, I sent you those videos of those serial killers, where like the reason John Wayne Gacy turned the way he was is because his parents treated him like shit. Like, they just kind of beat the shit out of him and called him a little fucking gay kid. Like, very short summary of the very complex backstory that is John Wayne Gacy, but you know what I mean? Like, there's always a reason for why people turn out this way.
Yeah,
There's
a song I was going to link you about John Wayne Gacy from an album called Feel the Illinois. And it's really good. Just search John Wayne Gacy song. It's a real toe tapper.
Well, like, but like, I've never seen anybody really explain or justify anything Stalin did. Because, like, even with Mao, I can read that and say, like, you know, Mao had his best intentions. I think he just didn't actually understand anything about agriculture or, like, the way, like, the ecosystem works, right? I think he was just an idiot. Stalin, I think, was just evil. I think Stalin was like, it's like, hey, peasants. He's like, yeah, give me all your grain. That's for the army. He's like, well, what about us? Fucking starve, bitch. I don't fucking care. You're not important. Get into the gulags with you. Fucking smoking his little pipe. It's like, you know what? I really like working for you, Stalin. I even got my own little personal group going on, too, to be just like you. He's like, just like me, you say? Well, off to the fucking firing squad with you. Like, he's just evil. But anyway, back to China. So, there's one last thing, because this is a very complex thing. That after Mao died, he was put in this big diamond/glass casket or whatever, so everyone can see him and, like, pray to him and shit when he was dead. This created a kind of power vacuum now, because for every ruler...
Do you know how he died? Was it natural causes? Was he assassinated? Do you know?
It was just natural causes. He just got really old.
He ate too many mango. He choked out a mango.
Well, he also had a lot of STIs that probably played into factor in his overall health.
Oh,
he liked
it was probably...
fuck.
I know that was
a
thing.
He liked to fuck.
Mousy dog doesn't make love. He fucks.
Yeah. So he was like, around in his 70s. When he died, so I think 70s plus all the diseases he had just kind of ended him. So,
that's
when he died, I died doing what I love. What? Fucking people and the ecosystem. And he dies. So, after he died, the next communist rulers, each one of them, because we're on the fifth now, where they're like, how the fuck do we follow up Mao? Hey, I've got this cool idea. Ever hear of this place called Tibet? What if we just took it over? So... the Tiananmen Square Massacre, because I know you really want to talk about this, and I didn't want to cut it out.
Okay.
So,
what the fuck happened there?
Okay, so, in Tiananmen Square, there's a pro-democracy protest going on, because they were getting sick of this communist rule thing, because they're like, hey, Mao was kind of an idiot, you guys are kind of idiots too, you're kind of ruining their entire country and our identity. Could we, like, not be communists anymore? So... a man named Hu Yaobang, who was a general, he gets this great idea, and he says, what if we just got rid of the protesters, guys? And they're like, okay, military, do your thing. Hu, do your job. And they finger guns, kapow, winks at him.
Oh, that's why he's called Hu Yaobang, because he does the finger guns.
Well, no, the guy finger banged to Hu Yaobang to give him the order to do whatever. And so Bang fucking comes in with his tanks. The protesters are like, whoa, stop. We are a peaceful protest for democracy. Fuck you. So he mows the guys down. He just runs them over. Ooh, and they just start firing on every single protester there, just killing them all. And that is why China is the way that it is. Pro-democracy died at the Tiananmen Square massacre. And they try to play it off like it never happened because, you know, it makes them look very bad. Because how do you justify that?
It is the opposite of every single Western value. It is anti-free speech. It is anti-democracy. It is anti-humanism. It is everything that someone of a Western mindset, that is Western, like Americas and Europe, it's anti every single thing that we believe in as like core values.
Yeah, and they cover this up because it makes them look bad. Because just like the British Empire, all the way back to the guy beating the fucking soldier, and then like the rest of the world looks at it. How do you justify just mowing those people over with a tank? How do you say it? We're like, no, they deserved it. You can't. You can't justify your actions other than you wanted to stay in power. So they just try to erase it. And so now we're on the fifth leader named Xi Jinping, also known as Genie the Pooh. He is a grade A asshole. He has a massive ego and very little self-esteem, what I'm looking for. He got memed so hard he banned the meme and the character associated with the meme. He's very fragile, and he is going out of his way.
You're looking for.
What's up?
It's ego. That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Although it's less like it does. I don't imagine
he's a little bitch.
I don't imagine that Winnie the Pooh like makes him feel like, ooh, my ego. I think it's more like the way that he's trying to roll this through force and intimidation. And having people compare you, which, like, it's pretty damn close to Winnie the Pooh, hurts that aspect a lot. So I very much doubt it's Winnie the Pooh personally offends him, but it just hurts his ruling style, which is why he needs to get rid of it.
Tad, I want it to hurt him, okay? So anyway.
We can't always get what we want, Alex. Just like in communist China, we can't always just get food and water.
Kills a tiger and then eats it.
Dab.
So Xi's kind of a dick, and right now he's at the height of Chinese power, and he's got this whole group of people all crammed together in this fucking sardine can of a country called China, and he's using that leverage on the rest of the world, and he's using that, and there's a big thing with the West when Skull came out with Blizzard, because it's showing you just how powerful money is, because he can take. You ever play like Risk or Civilization?
Yeah, and you capture. I think it's oh fuck, I don't remember which country it is. There's like a certain bottleneck that if you want to go to Europe, you have to either go through there or go the complete opposite way through like the entire world to get to, because it's only got like one entrance.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is that the point of the game is to take over the world, basically, either Risk or in Civ.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, I think in Risk it's always military, but in Civ, you don't have to be militaristic. You can do a religious victory, or like an economic, or like a political victory. They're harder, military is easy, as you just fucking, you know, unga rush everybody and kill them all. But China right now with Xi is trying to do that economic powerhouse build right now. So they can go to the West, say us, and they'd be like, hey guys, you have like a few hundred million people living in your country. We've got like 2 billion here. Why don't you send some of that to us?
And I know that to do business in China, if you're an outside company, it has to go through a Chinese-based company, which like Tencent is very much digital games. That's they're one of the biggest companies in China that deal with that. Movies go through. I'm not sure which company goes through. Like, I don't know which company in China deals with that.
So check this out. So I don't know the name of the company either because it's in Chinese, but there's a review process that they have to go through. And I looked at it a long time ago. When you are a foreign form of media, you have to fit these certain criterias about it. Now, the Chinese made media doesn't have to fit these criterias. The biggest example of this is the skeleton thing. I'm sure you've seen it in WoW or in Dota, where they get rid of skeletons in China. Fun fact, Chinese companies can use skeletons all they want. We can't. There's a little interesting fun fact for you. So, the way it works is that, say you're making your fucking, I don't know, your shitty fucking MOBA. You go to China. The Chinese, like, you get your fucking Chinese military officers, you know, they dust off their, like, jackets. They look at their thing, look at their little, like, they look at your game. They look over at the fucking, like, note card of all their rules. Look back, look left, look right. Scribble something out. Look back, look right, scribble that out. Hand it back to you. You then make your changes based on what they say. Some of these being over depiction of violence, which is bad for the... like, the ethics of the youth of China. It has a very, like, sterile term like that. Depictions of the female form. yes, that broad. skeletons. And messages that could potentially deface the current standing government. So, as South Park said, ooh, kids, you don't want to see you live in a free country. Yeah, the Chinese don't like that. Like, stuff like that. Very broad things like that to make sure it's as sterile as possible. China really likes high fantasy for some reason. So that's why a lot of those bootleg Chinese things, that you knockoff games you see in ads, all look very samey. Because they're trying to appeal to that Chinese audience that really likes that high fantasy, no governments, no skeletons, no titties bullshit, parentheses, we like titties. There's a big hypocrisy with that titty thing that's really fun. It sounds goofy because it's just titties, and they go, haha, titties. But what I find really interesting is that China constantly censors out, like, foreign titty media. Like, in Hearthstone, this was a big thing. Before the whole Hearthstone tournament thing happened, they made a big change in China where they covered up Jaina's titties, they got rid of the succubus card and replaced it with a Fellstalker, changed Deadly Shot, and changed the art of Secret Keeper and Queen of Pain. Even though Secret Keeper technically got Boar revealing, I don't know why that one was okay. I don't get the logic behind that one. But anyway, they changed all the non-Chinese aspects. And what I find really interesting, though, is that China also pumps out waifu gacha games. If you didn't know, games like Azure Lane and Girls Frontline are Chinese made. And they're really horny. Like, when the fucking girls in Girls Frontline get damaged, like, their clothes tear off, like Senran Kagura style.
Straight like up horny on main.
Yeah, yeah. And fucking, I find that really weird because, remember, the rule is only you guys have to follow that rule. We don't. We can do it. We can put as many skeletons as we want. So when I think about that female form thing is, I think they're actually doing that so that they can have a pigeonholed over the titty gacha market. That rule is actually bullshit. No, it's China. They're always about their economics. But anyway, Xi is running this bullshit, and more companies in the West, especially in America, are bowing to the whims of China because the Chinese market is just so huge. America isn't a lot like other, say, like the European countries where they had some own values. America was founded on the statement of "fuck you." Literally other people were here, and we just said "fuck you." We just took over the fucking joint.
Like, pretty much, we said "fuck you" to Britain. We said "fuck you" to every single Native American. We put them into the inhospitable desert, and then said, "Oh shit, there's money there. Fuck off." But you know, that's something that happens in literally every single civilization on the planet. That we just whoever's here previously and say, "Eat my fucking ass." And then we metaphorically hippo bite them.
Yeah, but there's no founding value in America other than already pre-established, like, British businesses saying, like, fuck you. I mean, you know how the whole workers thing was, like, back in the fucking 1900s, where you were all crammed in the factories, the doors were locked, and you couldn't get out until the fucking foreman came by and let you out. And then a guy who talks about the food, an Italian worker who was being mistreated, wrote an entire book about it. And the American audience read that book and said, holy shit, they put what in our food? And they forced the food administration to put those labels on what you're actually eating.
Mm-hmm.
And the Italians were never helped. The horrible working conditions of the working class goes over your head. Whoa, they're putting used chicken meat in my can of food? What? That's America. So, right now, with Blizzard, and this is the real big thing that everyone spiraled out of, with Blizzard, Blizzard has always had a big hold in China. And every World of Warcraft player, including myself, kind of already knew that and kind of hated it. Because everyone looked at, like, the Wikipedias and seen how, like, China modifies the models and makes them, like, gives them the skeletons and shit, and changes the armor, and everyone, when Mr. Pandaria came out, everyone was just rolling their eyes saying, oh, great, it's Kung Fu Panda, just appealing to the Chinese, woo. Like, everyone knew Blizzard was always trending over China. Now they're just being so brazen about it. Now they're being so fucking dick-sucking about it. Because right now, China is only 17% of Blizzard's overall revenue.
That's a lot. 17% yes, is a lot.
Yes, but that's still 83 is the rest of the world that everybody, even in like Europe and shit, told Blizzard to eat a dick when they ripped off 80% of their body and then kneeled down to the little hand that was left of the 17%. Because the potential of that 17% gets bigger. Because China has more people in it, has about like twice or maybe even three times as many people in it as like the entirety of America. So they would rather help them than us. And people hate that because it's like, you're an American-founded company, but you're self-censoring yourself for Chinese values, which means the Chinese are slowly encroaching their way of life into us and are doing a civilization political victory over us. And that's why it's so scary. Because it's not just Blizzard, it's also movie companies. I'm sure we've seen a few movies appeal to China. Off top of my head, examples are, I know in Iron Man, like, I think it was Iron Man 2, like, he flies by, like, shakes hands with the Chinese, like, governor guy, and then, like, flies away. Or the Transformers movies, it was, like, Transformers Extinction, that takes place in China. Because they wanted to appeal to the Chinese market. Or the Warcraft movie, that bombed in the U.S. Remember, China loves high fantasy. They fucking love the Warcraft movie. They made billions off the Chinese. Who the fuck cares about us? Go over there.
Now, here's the question, Alex. So, this Blizzard thing kind of kicked off because there was the guy I think it was Hearthstone, right? Where he was in an interview post-game. He said, you know, free Hong Kong.
Revolution of our age.
What was it that China was doing to Hong Kong? What it is, but I'm assuming you know exactly what it is.
So check it.
I'm checking.
So I already talked about it earlier in the Opium Wars, because this was important for the setup. British ruled Hong Kong forever. Ever, in air quotes. Since the Opium War was in like the late 1800s to about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Britain ruled it as kind of its, not really a colony, but more of its own little like sovereign state from China. And its own flag, its own politics, its own people.
Kind of like, kind of like Cuba to the United States, where Cuba's not a state, but it's part of the United States.
I thought Cuba was owned by... No, Cuba was blocked off. I think you're thinking of Puerto Rico. The Dominican Republic or something.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, yeah, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is what I'm thinking of, not Cuba. Cuba has the cigar... Oh, shit. Okay, here. I know we're fucking an hour into this, but let me just put a pin here. Did you know that when Cuba reopened, their number one export was 50s and 60s cars that have been kept in really good condition because that's the only fucking cars on the island?
Yeah, they like, okay, so this is a real fun thing. This is the exact same thing that happened that is currently in North Korea. They have been walled off for so long, they're kind of stuck in a time loop. They were stuck in the 50s because that's when the whole Cuban Missile Crisis happened and when they were embargoed and they could no longer like trade with the outside world. They were just like he took a time machine and paused Cuba, and they were just stuck in the 50s for the past 50 plus years. Same thing with North Korea. Once fucking, like, not Kim, but his father kind of ruled everything and died, he walled the country off, and they've been stuck in the 60s forever.
Anyway, that's all. So, I just want to say. I want to say that they got really cool-ass cars. Anyway, that's all right, take that pin off, throw it in the pile with the 15 other ones for this episode.
I mean, this is a fun episode, though. It's really interesting. So what were we talking about with, we talked about Cuba, with Puerto Rico, Hong Kong, that's right, Hong Kong. So, Hong Kong always had its own flag, and if you've ever played, I know this is kind of weird to bring up video games, but like, have you ever played, like, Street Fighter? If you notice that characters from China and Hong Kong had different flags, Dan Hibiki's from Hong Kong, so he has the Hong Kong flag, but, like, Chun-Li's from China, so she has the Chinese flag. So it's a little interesting. They were always considered, like, their own kind of country. Same with even the Olympics. So, British took over Hong Kong and they signed the treaty, they would only rule it for a set amount of time. And that time ran out, so the British didn't renew it. They just said, you know what, China? The whole colonialism thing is totally, like, not feng shui anymore. You can have Hong Kong back. And this made Hong Kong residents really fucking scared. Because they don't want to be owned by China. They were practically begging the British to take them over again. And I know this was a big issue with, remember Brexit when that was happening, where the British wanted to leave the European Union or whatever? Yeah. The Hong Kong actually went to Britain and said, if you guys are going to be independent again, can you take us over again? That was an actual thing that they asked.
I mean, it's reasonable. I completely understand. Like, it's, there was something I read about, like, there was a South African country that had a similar thing where it's like, it was owned by, I might be pulling this out of my ass. I think it was owned by like Spain or something.
The French owned a lot of African colonies, if that's where you're going at.
That might be it. And they were like, hey, can we stay French? Boo, boo, boo. You know, finger guns like, hey, please. I don't know how that resolved. I just read it in an article like 2 years ago. So that's the end of my story.
That's why a lot of people... Well, fun fact, I don't remember the specifics. I don't know the entirety of African history. I was doing a bunch of Chinese research for this. But I do know one fun fact about what you're talking about is a lot of people who are from like straight up Africa. And I mean like people who are actually from Africa, not people like African-Americans who were just born and raised here. A lot of them actually speak French. And I have a couple of them at my work who speak French to each other.
That's
so
crazy.
There's a little fun fact. Neat. Yeah, there's a little fun fact for you. So anyway, so Hong Kong is now owned in air quotes again by China. And China doesn't immediately, they don't TMN square them this time. They're not going to do it this time because we have the internet now. They can't do it that way that easily. The plan was to slowly incorporate Chinese values back to Hong Kong and bring them back into mainland China. Here's the thing. Hong Kong's been living free for so long, they said, no, fuck you, fuck your values, fuck Jinny the Pooh, fuck you. And then Jinny the Pooh says, well, guess we tried, bring in the armed guards. So they just push into Hong Kong, and that's where we are now. There are massive riots, protests, and violence going on in Hong Kong right now as people are trying to fight for their right to stay away from China as the Chinese... I don't know if they're necessarily military or if they're just really heavily armored cops, because they look kind of like SWAT team members from the videos I've seen, just marching on forward. It looks like a fucking dystopia, dude, where these guys are walking with like helmets, fucking riot shields, like fully like body armor, just walking forward, throwing fucking gas grenades and fucking beating the shit out of people. And a fun fact about this is that these cops are cheating. What they're doing is they are dressing up as civilians and vandalizing places to give false excuse to march in and say these guys are violent protesters.
Ooh,
you can see this. You can see this in videos because they're dressed as protesters, but they still have like their cop like gun on their holster on their waist.
Yep.
So they run in with like because the protester look is to have like an umbrella and like the gas mask. It's a guy with like he'll have the uniform of the protester, but he'll have like the cop like gun and shit on his leg. He'll run in, like smash a fucking window and run away. And the cops are like, up, justification, march, 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 and then just start beating the shit out of civilians. So that's what China is right now. It's just a futuristic, dystopian, totalitarian hellhole that is now going to have social credit where Big Brother watches you and judges everything you do online.
And then
welcome
it sounds
to hell,
like foreign aid to Hong Kong on top of like normal, like, oh, should we meddle in other people's affairs? I don't know. Yes, no, maybe so. There's also like, hey, if you help out Hong Kong, China's probably not going to like that. And you're getting a lot of money from China, so maybe you should just let
exactly.
this horrible war crime happen. Well, it's not a war crime. It's basically a war crime, yeah.
Let this horrible fucking travesty go on. And this is the thing. China has, like, say, like, Jinny the Pooh is, like, holding the world like M. Bison is in Street Fighter. Like, Jinny the Pooh's just got the world with little dollars, little yuan signs all over the place.
Oh, bother.
And that's what's so scary about this, is that no one wants to help because they're so powerful. Nobody wants to stand up to them because they have so much money. And then that's slowly coming into us, where now we are starting to buckle down and become more like China, just so that we can appeal more to China. And this is why there was this newscaster I was watching who brought up the Blizzard thing, and he's like, are we really going to let American companies form our media based around the Chinese? Are we really going to not be American anymore just for the sake of money? And he was obviously trying to like scare tactic people, because what news people do, but he does have a very good point. Are we really going to let this happen? You know, fuck the Hong Kong protesters, but are we really going to let this happen to us? Are you really going to chase dollars so hard we just become communists too. Because fun fact, Ted, that's where that Stone Toss comic comes from, where the businessman is helping the communist guy. Yeah, they like it too, because they're going to exploit the shit out of you. And every single one of you idiots who's promoting communism, remember, there's never, ever, ever been a good time where communism has worked. It has always turned into totalitarian dictator bullshit. Because you're giving all of the power to one guy no matter what you do, you fucking tool.
But Alex, that's not real communism. Anyway, dude, that's the end of the episode.
Now, there's a lot of things I want to bring up for the ending here, is that obviously there's a lot of things I glossed over. Like, you know, going from Mao to Ginny the Pooh, there's four other guys in between that.
Oh, damn.
Well, three, because, you know, Xi's the fifth, Mao's the first. But for the sake of brevity, I wanted to kind of summarize why China's the way that it is and why it's holding the entire world. There's obviously a little more intricacies in each thing. And Chinese history is its own, like, category of, like, historical study. It is so massive because it's such a big fucking country. And there's other countries that they just kind of asserted dominance over, like Tibet, where they just kind of took over the fucking joint and it became Chinese Taipei. Remember,
oh, that's why you've been doing... Because the fucking assert dominance thing, because you just T-pose and float. That's why you were doing that. I thought you were just saying T-pose to be a funny goofster.
Nah, dude, they've been asserting dominance. you get it. Dude, I'm 900 IQ for this episode, all right? Anyway, check this out. So it's his own form of study, and there will probably be people who... I probably made a couple mistakes here, or I glossed over a few minor details about this and that. But again, it's a thing that if we were to really go into, like, the complete total history of why China is basically the world's supervillain, but we also can't possibly fight them because they're just too strong, where the bad guys have bigger swords and the good guys just can't compete, it would be like a 10-hour fucking episode, dude. So for the sake of brevity, I summarized some things. But I hope you guys got a gist. I Bill Wurtzed it pretty hard, is a good way to say it, right? Where I kind of summarized it and also made it a little comedic, yeah. You know? I highly recommend that all of you go out and learn for yourself and see things for yourself, because you might be like me, where I was always told Mao was just this evil asshole, but when I actually read more about Mao, I was like, okay, I think he was just kind of an idiot, right? Or I learned more about Stalin, I'm like, yeah, he was just kind of evil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I highly recommend you guys go out and look at these sources. A lot of sources, because the Chinese like to fluff up their own details. And and make an opinion for yourself and really learn into this really cool history. Because China is actually really cool up until the early 1900s when Mao took over. Like, pre-communism China, cool history, a lot of cool shit. Everyone can, like, thumbs up that shit. After that, everybody can kind of go like, ooh, I put their hands on their hips, kind of shaking like, ooh, yikes, ooh, modern China. But yeah, go learn some shit, everybody.
And you can also, here, I'll let you learn something right now. And that's where you can find the podcast. You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, shit's on Spotify, it's lit, it's fire, three fire emojis. There's a Discord and a Patreon. I think I mentioned the Twitter already, but I'm going to say it again. Mentioned Discord too. Yeah, I think I covered it all, didn't I, Alex? Pretty great.
Yeah, pretty much. And remember, you can also find us on BitChute, because YouTube follows the rules of China, and we will be soon banned from YouTube.
Yep, because I put the tags communism and China in the video here. So
free Hong Kong, revolution of our age.
Exactly.